Welcome to part two of Count It All Joy. Now there's going to be three parts because of some things I've uncovered in part two, or four part two that I originally did not have in there. And I'd like to welcome everybody to this teaching. I think it's absolutely wonderful that your hearts are open to God and His Word, and that you've taken the time out of your busy schedules to listen to God's Word. And I would encourage you to re-listen to part one, and then to part two, and then eventually to part three. I think that it will really help you and help ingrain this subject of Count It All Joy into your heads and hearts, and help you deal with perhaps the most difficult thing in a Christian walk, to maintain joy and to deal with evil experiences. And so I've got lots to share. And I think what we should do is go to, I guess we could go to James, but maybe not. Maybe we should. Yeah, let's start in James chapter 1, and we'll pick up where we stopped last time. I've got lots of notes and things here I have to shuffle through. Chris is going to put verses up for us, and that'll let people read off the screen too. Actually, Chris, can you put up James chapter 1? Verse 2. Yeah, this is like our theme verse, James chapter 1, verse 2. And it says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations." Can you even believe that God's word says that? It sounds so strange. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. And I've talked about verse 2, and I've talked about verse 3 already. Verse 2. I've talked about verse 2 and even 1, actually, in part 1. So I'm not going to rehash any of that. Eventually, we'll get to verse 3. But we are supposed to count it all joy when we fall into diverse temptations. And we know that the word temptation is not temptation. We know that it is like experience or experiment, evil experiment. I even called this a series of teachings like the teachings of the three P's. Do you remember the three P's, like P and Peter? Pyrosmos, Pyrazo, and Pyrostos. And each one means something different. And we're going to get into those words more. But Pyrosmos means experience. And that's temptation in verse 2. And then pyrazo is the word enticed. And then there's the a pyrostos, which applies to God, where He cannot be tempted. God cannot be tried. These experiments cannot be put on Him. And so that's a recap of something I shared in part one. And verse two that you see on the screen is our theme verse, count it all joy. Count it all joy. And you're probably thinking, wow, Jerry, you don't know how miserable I feel sometimes. Yet I'm supposed to count it all joy when I fall? When I fall into various or many evil experiments or experiences. Quite honestly, Jerry, I hate those. And when I have that hate or disdain for those, I don't have any joy. Now, that's real life, isn't it? But let me tell you what real life is supposed to be. It's supposed to be joyful. Joyful. A Christian is supposed to be joyful. The more you feed on the things of the world, the less of this joyfulness you will have. If you find you have no joyfulness, then you'll probably find a healthy serving of the world on your lap. And you need to push it off your lap, and you need to embrace joy. Joy is something that God has made available to every man, woman, and child once they're born again. You can't look at unbelievers and think they're supposed to be joyful. You can't look at non-Christians and think that they're supposed to be joyful. You can't walk into a store and expect all the people to be joyful. You can't walk into a church and expect all the people to be joyful. All these people might not be born again. I'm getting really good at asking that question, but are you born again? Because everybody wants to brag that they know God, and that everybody wants to say that everybody has God on the inside. And boy, I look at him, I go, you cannot have God on the inside unless you're born again. Are you born again? And so we clear that up right away. And sometimes I have to ask that question 4 or 5 times because it doesn't register in their minds. It doesn't get through the darkness until later. And so that's what I do. And it's a wonderful experience. It's an experience that every one of us should have. And so I want you to have that experience. But I want you to understand that there is a biblical / Christian requirement called count it all joy. And there are very specific times when you're supposed to do this. And that is when you fall into diverse temptations. That's our theme verse. Let's look at James chapter 1. And then we're going to pick it up at verse 12. I'm just making sure or checking whether I already read this verse to you guys. No, I don't think so. Okay. All right. Now, we're going to get through James 12 through 16 today. And we'll probably get to 1 Peter 1, 6, because it's a very important verse for you. But we're going to spend a lot of time in 1 Corinthians 13. Do you know that James chapter 1, verse 12 through 16 force us into 1 Corinthians 13? I'm going to let you in on a secret. Something happens to me regarding the way I focus on the Bible. And more times than not, there's only one subject I want to talk about. And that subject is the subject of agape. The subject of agape, mistranslated charity, captured me many, many years ago, like a tidal wave. And I've been riding that wave ever since then, and I'm not able to get off of it. I just can't. And I believe the reason I can't is because agape has everything to do with bonding a Christian's life into the family of God and to God. Not only that, though, but to setting up eternity for that Christian. There's no other thing in the Bible that does that. There's nothing else that does that. Not how many times you wash your hands, not how many times you spray on perfume, not how many times you say bless you to somebody, not how many well wishes you have toward people, not toward what color you paint your house, or what kind of food you eat, or what profession you choose. There is literally nothing else that bonds you to other Christians and to God and to eternity. I don't know of anything else. Nothing. I've never been able to get off of that wave. So I've taken you with me. You guys are all riding that wave. And now that wave is gaining strength. Oh my goodness. So that's my secret. And I want to read to you a reason that I can't ever get off of that wave. And I must say also that I am beside myself with thankfulness that I've been allowed to understand this part of the Bible and that I've been able to relate it to people who also now understand it. And so verse 12 says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Does anybody know the first and great commandment? That's right. And the second is like unto the first. What is that one? Huh. Well, if it's called the first and great commandment, is there any greater commandment? And if that second one is the second great commandment, is there any other that takes second place? No. You can't put something in first place because first place is already taken. You can't put something in second place because second place is already taken. And so in this verse 12, it says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Well, we're talking about some serious ammunition here. This is firepower. This is firepower. This is weaponry. This is a means to an end. This is how to live life. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Well, it's almost written in past tense, which means that it is entirely available to accomplish. There's nothing that God places at your feet that you can't do. Nothing. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life. Now, we had a whole series of teachings on those crowns, and I'm not going to reteach them. But this is like an addendum to it. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life. That's eternity. You're not getting it now. You got to wait. That's eternity. You're bonded to eternity through this verse, which the Lord hath promised. A promise is future. Hadn't happened yet to them that love him. What's the first commandment? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. And we know that that word love is the word agape, mistranslated charity. And we're told that if we live according to agape, that's how you love God. You do his word, but you specifically live according to that, and I've labeled it the Christian code of conduct. The agape Christian code of conduct. As you live according to agape, you're loving God. You're doing it for him, to him, with him, around him. You're bonding yourself to his word. His word is permeating you and guiding you and directing you, not only on account of your behavior toward him, but the second commandment, your behavior toward others. And so that word endureth is the word hupomone, and it means undergoes. Now, there's so many ways to translate that. It's like an underlayment. It's support underneath, okay? Patience. It's also called like a bearing up under. It's like a girder holding up a floor in a building. Okay? But it undergoes. I like undergoes here. Blessed is the man that undergoes temptation. And that's that word parosmos. And it means experience. Now, we know from part one that it means evil experiences. And we learned that when we read about the love of money is the root of all evil, that section. It's in part one. For when he is tried, and the way I like to look at for when he is tried, after a sale. In other words, after that evil assails him, comes on him, surrounds him, because remember, this temptation isn't just like one little tiny thing that just dangled in front of your nose. It's like being surrounded with it. It's like being flooded so that it would overcome you. So for when he is tried after this assail, he shall receive the crown of life. Well, that sounds like a lifetime of it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It sounds like a lifetime of enduring temptation. It sounds like a lifetime of undergoing. So you can start to see that this is talking about your life and how it leads into eternity, and how it bonds you to God. I mean, it's all in this verse. And then it says, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him, and that would be agape, love. And so verse 13 says, let no man say when he is tempted, and that's pyrazo, that's the second P, word, P as in Paul, pyrazo, and that means enticed. And so these experiences are going to be enticing. Maybe not all of them are enticing, but many of them are. I am enticed of God or by God. For God cannot, and this is the A pyrostos, he's not temptable. God is not temptable. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither pyrazo, neither entices he any man. He never does this. He will never do it. Well, that pretty much eliminates everything but the devil. Okay? The devil's the one that does this stuff. Verse 14, but every man is pyrazo, every man is enticed when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. His own lust. So it works on your own desires. That's lust. It works on your own feelings, your own lust. Verse 15, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Well, that's definitely not God. That is definitely the devil, because the devil is the god of death. God is not the god of death. And he's not the god of sin. And he's not the god of lust. And he's not the god of evil experiences. He is the god of the crown of life. He is the god of agape. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And there's your warning. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Wow. Well, that means that you actually can fulfill that. Do not err. And I want to take you into 1 Corinthians 13, because we have seen, actually, Chris, can you put up 1 Peter 1, verse 6? I want to get that verse out of the way. I want you guys to see this, and then we'll go to 1 Corinthians 13. But James chapter 1, what we just read, very clearly ties into agape, and I'll show you how after I read 1 Peter 1, 6. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, some people are, some people aren't, in heaviness through manifold pyrosmos experiences, evil experiences. Wherein ye greatly rejoice. Well, there we have joy again with these negative experiences. That establishes it. Anytime something shows up twice in the Bible, it is established. You're not taking it out. You're not removing it. You can't undermine it, downplay it, ignore it. You need to go with it. And so we know now that Christians, beyond any shadow of a doubt, and by the way, there's more, but beyond any shadow of a doubt, should have joy and rejoicing when they're going through evil experiences. Don't pine away. Don't sit around and pout. Don't curse your birth. Don't curse your mother for having had you. Don't curse your boss. Don't curse other people. Rejoice. Because It's giving you an opportunity to bond to God, to bond to other believers, and to bond to eternity. And you have the ability to do that. It's so amazing to me. If need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold pyrosmos experiences. Again, manifold. We know that they come in like groups, and there could be a lot of them. You get surrounded with them. So I think you get the nature of that. Okay? All right. Now, we know that we read in James chapter 1, verse 12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, these evil experiences. We know that we read about agape, which the Lord hath promised to them that agape him. And those are two words that very specifically show up in 1 Corinthians 13. And I think we should read them. 1 Corinthians 13. Let's just take a look at that. 1 Corinthians 13, Chris. Let's look at verse 1 real quick. I want to go down through those. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels. So when you're teaching somebody about speaking in tongues, you can tell them, look, your tongue's going to be either human or supernatural. Tongue of angels. Okay. And have not charity. And that is the word agape in the Greek. So there you have it. This is the Bible's hallmark section on agape. I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. You're just a noisemaker. And we don't want to be like that. Okay, so this is talking about agape. Now, go to verse 7. After we've read many of the characteristics, we come to verse 7 that says, and it's talking about agape, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. And there's endureth. So these same two words, agape and hupomone, undergoes, endureth, show up in this hallmark section of the section on agape. And I never really tied this together into this bonding concept. But I want you to do that. And I want you to understand that agape, living the life of agape, according to the Christian code of conduct, has everything to do with you manifesting joy and rejoicing, but it also plays an indelible part in eternity. Endureth comes from the Greek word hupomone. It contains two parts, upo, which means under or behind, and meno, which means to stay. Together they mean to remain under. And it can be better understood as undergo. And that's why I used that before. Strength is included in the meaning, especially when others have gone. This word adds tremendous strength to the great possibilities of living according to the Agape Christian Code of Conduct. Matthew chapter 10. I want to read a couple verses out of Matthew 10, Luke 2, and Romans 12. But in Matthew chapter 10, verse 22, we read, "And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake." Wow, that's pretty nasty. Can you imagine living in a world where that happens? Okay. "But he that endureth, hupomone, undergoes to the end, shall be saved." Knowing that that word means undergo gives it a totally different perspective, doesn't it? Have you ever run a race? Have you ever seen somebody run a race and crawl to the finish line and crawl across the finish line all the way to the end? They underwent an entire experience and they wouldn't stop. They kept going. Nothing could stop them. Nothing. Nothing. Maybe they had to hobble across. Maybe they had to limp. Maybe somebody had to come back and help them. And then at the very end, they let them go so that they could cross that finish line by themselves. And they could. And they did. Have you ever seen something like that? Jesus taught that the people who stayed strong and endured or remained unto the end, until the end, shall be saved. This usage contains the concept of sticking around no matter what things are like. Luke chapter 2 and verse 43. "And when they had fulfilled the days," verse 43, "as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it." Uh-oh. This was when Joseph and Mary went to Jerusalem so that they could do the census, and they lost Jesus. Well, interestingly, Jesus did not consider himself lost, for he stayed behind, and that's hupomone, tarried behind. Romans chapter 12. Now I'm going to read a verse that I'm sure you're familiar with. Romans chapter 12 and verse 12. "Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation." Isn't it fantastic that these two words are together again? Patient, hupomone, and that experiences tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. We are told to be patient in mental pressure or experiences, evil experiences. This means that we do have the ability to stand strong even in the thick of pressures. Patience conveys the concept of strength. That's how strength fits into this that I mentioned earlier. Even in rough times. How many of you go through rough times? I think that all of you do. I think that every single one of us are challenged every day. In fact, it seems like we're always surrounded with this now. It seems like we live in a season of it. And that season doesn't want to let up. Well, we're on the crest of a giant wave that we've named Agape. And as you walk according to agape, doing one of the characteristics, which is to undergo these things, all things, good or bad, to undergo, no matter what it is that befalls you, you're riding on top. You're not underneath. Don't even worry about getting off that wave. As long as you walk according to agape, you're not going to be under. You're going to be over. Hebrews 12. You guys probably all know this verse. Hebrews 12, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. And that word cross is not cross, it's stake. Jesus didn't die on a cross. I always have to get that one in. I hate the lies that they teach out there. I despise them. But I still have joy. Who for the joy that was set before him endured, underwent, dying on that stake, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. I don't think there's a one of you that undergoes evil experiences that doesn't feel ashamed. You're disgusted with yourself for how you behaved or how you responded. Or even that you went through something. Wow, me? Seriously? I've never had to deal with something like that. I don't know. You go through this mental consternation, despising the shame. Jesus despised the shame because it was there. What he looked like, what he was forced to do in front of all those people and demons and bulls of Balaam, and just that horror that he went through. Well, he was finally set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Well, so are you. You know, where he is, we are. And one day we're going to be in heaven for what, about 7 years? That's something else to talk about, right? So Jesus Christ provides us with the greatest example of undergoing or endurance when he gave his life for all of us. He remained strong, and on that terrible death tool until he died. He had the choice to walk off or to stay on, and he chose what would bless his Father and us. And this is where I want to ask you to make a choice. You can choose to either undergo whatever it is you face, knowing that collectively it's a communal experience. We all go through stuff. You're part of the body. My job is to help edify the body of Christ. You are my specific wards, so to speak. Ephesians says that I'm supposed to edify the body of Christ and build up, help build up that body. So I've chosen agape. I've chosen to live according to a very specific code of conduct, but now it's up to you to make that choice. Are you going to live according to that agape code of conduct and bond yourself to me and bond yourself to the other believers? And there's a lot of them. There's a lot of believers involved here. And then to bond yourself to eternity? Are you going to undergo these evil experiences You want to call them experiments? That is a good word for it too. Are you going to undergo them or are you going to quit? Are you going to throw in the towel? Are you going to stop pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus? What are you going to do? You, I love you, but what are you going to do? Are you going to continue or are you going to quit? What are you going to do? This is a viable question for every Christian who wants to count it all joy, who wants to rejoice in these experiences. If you love God, if you live according to the agape code of conduct, which is the Christian code of conduct, as it is detailed in 1 Corinthians 13, then you have three unique opportunities, all of which have to be done so that you can truly count it all joy. One is to bond yourself to God by living according to the Christian code of conduct, very specifically undergoing to the end. Two is to bond yourself, and I'll get to this in part three of this teaching, is to bond yourself to other believers via the Christian code of conduct, undergoing evil experiences with them, because this is all communal and all of us undergo these things to the end. And three is to bond yourself to eternity because we are promised the crown of life. We are promised a crown of life because we're undergoing. It's not so much a question of enduring. That English word kind of throws a wrench in the works. Jesus didn't exactly endure. He underwent to the end. He finished it. That is, in my mind, a better way to perceive hupomone. You can say endure if you want, but endure means there might not be an end. I like to say undergo to the end because that's how Jesus said it in Matthew. And I like to think that I'm going to get across that finish line come hell or high water as I ride that higher wave of agape, as I live a higher, more esteemed lifestyle with the Christian code of conduct. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Consider him, I beg you, consider him as he hung on that stake with his hands nailed above his head in the most excruciating pain a human could ever go through. I don't know what else could be worse. And the shame that was thrown upon him by those bulls and those people, those Jews and those Romans. Consider him that he underwent that. He underwent that all the way to the end until he knew it was time and he gave up the ghost and said, "It is finished." He breathed his last breath. He was a man. He wasn't God. That wasn't God on a stake. You can't take our God and put him on a stake. Why? Because the Bible says he cannot be aperistos. He can't be tried. He can't be put to evil experiences. He can't be tempted. That's a weak word. But he cannot be put through what Jesus was put through. He can't. He can't. Wow. Isn't that something? And so in Hebrews chapter 3, we're told to consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. Man, they were after him. Lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. That's what I want you to do. The endurance that Jesus Christ had is such a great example for us. The great qualities of undergoing evil experiences combat the mental fatigue that we experience when we're surrounded by evil experiences. Agape has the ability to strengthen us because we're living according to it. It's one of those things that are alive. Another one, right? We started with glory. These entities that come from God, they're filled with life. And when you practice God's word, that life takes hold of you. It takes hold within you. Agape's endurance, ability to help us get through, provides the means to remain steadfast in any situation. And so I'd like you to turn to 1 Peter chapter 4. And this is where we'll close today. And we'll start with verse 12. And I'm just going to read this. Beloved, think it not strange. So your mind is... Well, let me tell you something. When I went rafting Friday, I had no idea that I'd be rafting in pitch black. I had no idea that we would be out there at night. They didn't either. And it was spooky. Black. On this river, with all the sounds of the jungle everywhere, and with God knows what in that water. We had to keep going. Had to keep going. I was filled with emotions that I don't think I've ever experienced. And I just kept paddling, you know. They said it's over there on the left. We're gonna get there, you know, and I kept paddling and paddling and just trying to imagine, you know, like when. And a very interesting experience for me. It was definitely trying. And at no time did I feel like I was not in God's care. But before that, when the sun was up, the sun set on the river, straight down the river. It was the most beautiful sight. As we drifted down the river and this enormous expanse of water was on either side and these enormous trees that just burst forth from the jungle were reaching as far as they could over the water. The vistas were unimaginable. It was like being engulfed in creation. And I still can't get those images out of my mind. I feel like I was part of it. Like I was on the water, in the water, part of the water, by the trees, by the monkeys, by the iguanas, by the birds, and things I couldn't see but could hear. And just all part of that. It wasn't just like looking at something. It was like being something. And in my mind, I was like, it was almost overwhelming. It was all-encompassing. I was surrounded by it. And I found it quite interesting that I had to press toward the mark. And I had to undergo that stuff. I thought, man, these guys really planned this pretty poorly. We should have been finished in daylight. And we weren't, but I had to undergo it. I couldn't get out of it. I couldn't stop. I couldn't go jump off on the shore. There was no shore. There was no way I was going in that stuff. It was thick jungle or sheer cliffs. I mean, wow. And I had to keep going. I had to keep going. I had to keep going. That was undergoing something. And when it got dark, I didn't want to be in the dark. It was no claim to fame to me. I did not want to be in the dark. I'll be real honest with you. And so I want you to picture yourself in your situation, the thing you're going through right now. You're going through it right now. And I want you to tell yourself that you're going to endure until the end. Because you learned a word today. It's called season. These things come and go. I'm not on the river anymore. It's not nighttime anymore. It's over with. I made it. Okay? I accomplished something that I would never have chosen to do myself. To be on the river at night. No, thank you. No way. And I've gone through so many things like that here in the jungle, getting lost and being afraid, going through stuff that, wow, or going through sickness. I mean, I've gone through things that I just had to get through. I had to undergo them because they befell me. And they were, all of them were things like I was surrounded by it. Like when I was in the jungle and I got lost, I was surrounded on all sides by all this jungle. And I was worried about snakes. And, you know, they could be there. And if they wanted to jump out and bite, they could. They were there. And anyway, just being surrounded by stuff. I had to undergo it. I had to keep walking. I had to undergo until the end. And I want you to look at your situation, the thing right now that's befallen you. And I want you to tell yourself, I will finish this. I will undergo until the end. The end of it. I will undergo. And I want you to count it all joy. I just say that count it all joy thing. I know you don't know how to make the joy yet, but I want you to count it all joy. And that is the end of the matter. And so in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12, beloved, think it not strange. So stop. So get off of that whiny thing, that piney thing. Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial. Fiery trial. Fiery trial, which is to pyrosmos. You. These experiences, as though some strange thing happened to you. This is God's word, my friends. I love you, but this is God's word. This is God speaking to you. This is the heart of God saying, look, this is the nature of this insane life. There's nothing perfect about it. Perfection left when Adam left the garden. Even before that. But rejoice in so much that ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings. Well, there we have it again. Sufferings? Oh, you mean the evil experiences he went through? Uh-huh. That when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. That is when you're going to have full joy. In the meantime, just count it all joy. Count. Oh, so like if you had a retirement account and you go in and look at the balance every day, you're counting what you have, but you're not using it. You don't have it in hand. It's there, though. Count it all joy. And so when Christ returns and his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad with exceeding joy. That's when you're going to cash in on the joy. Oh, you'll get a fragrance of it now. You'll get a taste. You'll get a feel. But nothing like that day. Verse 14. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. So if you knew how much you had in your retirement account, and it was a lot, somebody could hurt you, they could despise you, you could undergo evil experiences, but you know that you got money in the bank. Nobody can take your worth from you. So you're just happy, no matter what you go through. For the Spirit of glory and of God resteth on you. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. You play an enormous part. You're bonded to God, you're bonded to each other, hence the body of Christ, and you're bonded to eternity because you just told yourself and everybody else in your room there, that you're going to keep going until the end. You're going to finish. You're not going to give up because everybody else has to do this too. Wouldn't it be kind of silly? You say, oh, I've had enough. I give up. And everybody else around you just keeps going. It's like, wow, that doesn't put you in a very good light. Don't give up. Be serious about this. So much so, it says in verse 15, but let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet, if any man suffer as a Christian, and there's words in italics, and we're going to get into this in part 3, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Let's count it all joy together. Let's choose to walk according to the agape code of conduct, the Christian code of conduct. Let's all be on the crest of that wave, never underneath. Let's ride it until the end. And let's bond ourselves to God because we live according to agape. No questions asked. Every one of us choose agape. Every one of us choose the Christian code of conduct. Let's bond ourselves to each other, by living according to the agape code of conduct. And let's bond ourselves to eternity, because we are not going to stop. We're not going to give up. We're going to undergo the seasons of evil experiences that befall us to the end, and we're going to receive the crown of life. Amen.